This is All India Radio. In the program Spotlight Now, we bring you a discussion on National Girl Child Day, Rights of Girl, Child and Opportunities. The participants are Soledad Herrero, Chief of Child Protection, UNICEF in India, and Sonu Sood, AIR correspondent.
Prime Minister Narendra Modi today interacted with recipients of Prime Minister Rashtriya Bal Puraskar. These awards are given to children between 5 and 15 years of age for exceptional abilities and outstanding achievements in fields of innovation, sports, arts and culture, social service, scholastic achievements and bravery. He also greeted the nation on the occasion of National Girl Child Day. The Prime Minister said the National Girl Child Day is an occasion to reiterate our commitment and further strengthen ongoing efforts to empower the girl child. The first and foremost aspect of empowerment for a child is education, be it girl or boy. Ma'am, can you tell us about the importance of education and beyond education, what are the other aspects that parents, caregivers need to keep in mind for a holistic development of the girl child?
We know that education is the port of entry for so many other rights and is absolutely crucial for empowerment. Education actually comes from the Latin word educare, right? That means no more nor less than nourishment. When we talk about education, it is, of course, the process of acquisition of knowledge and experiences, but we know that it's so much more. The main purpose of education is not only passing out the knowledge that I just mentioned, but is to turn children into all-round developed individuals. We also know that it's very important for the development of the personality, as well as to equip boys and girls with the capacities of socialization. Finally, education is also very important when it comes to converting members of society into productive future adults. And also, education plays a very important role if we are to put an end to the intergenerational transmission and cycles of poverty. As you very well said, education is not all, right? Education plays a critical role in accessing to many other rights. But if we are to talk about advancing the rights of the girl child, we need to talk about nurturing, giving opportunities for the girl child to have the same access to health, to nutrition services, to water, to sanitation. And it's also about protect, as well as empower and, in short, celebrate our girls.
Ma'am, who are the various stakeholders who need to be on board for the rights of the child to be ensured, especially for the girl child?
Well, we will never be able to ensure and guarantee all the rights of the girl until we make the rights of the girls everybody's business and until and unless we really use a whole society approach. And I'm really putting an emphasis on the society approach because sometimes it's poorly understood. The rights of the children and particularly the girls are something that the government has only responsibilities for, particularly where and when the first line of protection, which is the family, faces some challenges. It is, of course, important that there are government services and systems that are able to provide gender-sensitive services for the girls. But if we are really looking into having a gender transformative approaches, right, that is really to advance and promote the equality of the girls in this society, we need to look at many other range of partners. We need to look into justice that provides equal access of justice for both boys and girls when they are either victims, but also when they are in conflict with the law. Other institutions, human rights institutions, and others that have oversight roles, such as the National Commission for the Protection of Children's Rights, have a very important role to play. But then if we move beyond that, of course, families, I already mentioned that they are the first line of defense and protection, but we also need to look at other stakeholders that perhaps sometimes are less looked at. I don't know, we can look into, for example, the role that private sector has in really advancing and tearing down the gender stereotypes that many times prevent girls to be seen as equal members of society. So we really need to empower and work very closely with community members to make sure that some of the gender norms that are holding behind our girls are really stripped apart.
What is UNICEF doing to promote cause of the girl child in India in partnership with the Ministry of Women and Child Development?
Well, that's a great question, especially today. We're just walking out from a really extraordinary event in which Honorable Minister of Women and Child Development, she spent a significant time with very, very exciting dialogue with girls as well as boys from all across the country, talking about some of the opportunities and aspirations, and also showing some light and some example of some of those programs that we as UNICEF are privileged to be supporting together hand by hand with the Ministry of Women and Child Development as well as the State Departments of Women and Child Development. So very quickly, UNICEF has been working with the Ministry very closely to address some of the harmful practices. UNICEF has supported the development of state action plans as well as, I think it's now 175 district plans for adolescent empowerment, where some of these initiatives about engagement or civic engagement activities of adolescent girls are taking place. And of course, we are also supporting the ministry in the Beti Bachao and Beti Pachao initiative that is really trying to put an emphasis and making changes on the ground in terms of the value of adolescent girls. And a lot of times, some of the adolescent girls and youth in the country are really empowered to move forward. But an important realization is that we also need men and boys to be on the side. And we also need to work on issues of toxic masculinity and transform it into a positive masculinity.
Right, ma'am. And today you talked about this interaction which children from all over the country have with the Honorable Women and Child Development Minister. Can you tell us more about what interesting and innovative ideas emerged from this interaction with respect to girl children excelling in various fields and gaining confidence?
Yes, of course. And I only wish that they were here because they will be much more eloquently presenting some of the discussions that they had today. I won't make justice to all the dialogue that they held with the ministry, but I'll share a few highlights for sure. So girls and boys from Uttar Pradesh, Gujarat, Assam, Jharkhand, Madhya Pradesh, Odisha, and Telangana and Rajasthan, if I'm not missing any of the states, were having a very engaging dialogue with the Honorable Minister. Some of them are authors of books and some of them share their own testimonies on how they've been taking action to prevent cases of child labor and infant marriage. Or also, for example, an amazing girl also together with her sister sharing some of the experiences as differently able and how still she's been managed to continue her education. I think some of the requests that came from the girls and the dialogue with the Honorable Minister as well as with the UNICEF Regional Director, one strong message and suggestion also that the Honorable Minister put forward was to elevate the efforts on mental health and psychosocial support. Again, very compelling messages from some children that unfortunately live in alternative care, in either in childcare institutions or in foster care. There was also a request that we are hoping to be supporting the ministry on, which is to strengthen alternative care systems for those children whose families, unfortunately, cannot be providing care of. And then finally, last but not least, Honorable Minister, Madame Smriti Rani herself, she also suggested that a coalition of youth, girls and young women that have been working on ending child marriage and empower girls is also identified so they can also become champions and work closely with the ministry on ending child marriage and contributing to the empowerment of girls and adolescents.
Ma'am, this is the third year when we are battling the pandemic and it has had its toll on everybody. Can you tell us something about the effect of the pandemic on the girl child and the steps forward?
Yes, of course. We've been talking about the pandemic as a health crisis, but we know that this has blown and transformed into a children's rights crisis as well, in which girls have been impacted disproportionately and also in different ways. We've been talking and you started this conversation talking about education, right? So we know that unfortunately, when families are under pressure, economic pressure especially, the chances of girls being pulled away from education opportunities also to take care of course, right? And home duties is very likely. I think as families struggle to find a means for survival and for economic earning, the chances also of girls being drawn into the caretaking, right, of the smaller children is very likely to happen. We know that a lot of times, because of perhaps no well understood means of protection also, in this period where many schools have been closed, where children and adolescents have been pressured to leave under a lockdown, the opportunities also for socialization of girls might be particularly curtailed. Once again, we know very well that a lot of families, sometimes with only device for internet, have had to make different prioritization among their children and among the siblings on deciding which child is to have access to internet. And many times, and unfortunately, families and communities will still prioritize boys. It is sometimes wrongly understood that girls need to be protected in such a way that they are also prevented from having access to internet. And we know that internet in this 21st century is almost, and some people actually argue that it is a basic right. So unfortunately, a lot of times, and there's been studies that have continued to prove that access of girls for internet, either for education, but also for their own development, girls' exposure has been limited. So all this has really affected in a very different way girls, or disproportionate way at least, girls than boys. I think in terms of what needs to happen next, I think conversations like the one we did today, and of course leadership of key actors, of course from the government perspective, such as today the Honorable Minister exerted, but also maybe other influences in society need to really raise visibility on these issues. We need to also invest to continue to learn how the girls are affected differently, and also what programmatic interventions, what policies are most effective also to bring the girls on board. And just to continue this conversation to make sure that we are all aware and bring on board the different needs that girls have in order for them to reach their full potential.
So ma'am, gender discrimination is rapidly coming down, gradually coming down due to the concerted efforts of organizations such as yours, due to the efforts of the government, and also due to the efforts of the enlightened people in society. How important do you feel is it to sensitize people to accord equal respect to boys and girls?
I think we will never be able to move forward the needle when it comes to really looking at girls and boys, men and women as equal beings, unless we really go through a transformation of values and systems that underpin how societies work. And we will simply not be able to do that if we just work with half of the population. So yes, as I indicated earlier, it is only if we use a whole society approach, it is only if we work with girls and adolescent girls, but also with boys, with their siblings, with their uncles, with their parents, with their male teachers. Because a lot of times, and we are seeing this also on the ground, a lot of adolescent girls are waking up to a universe of full potential and full opportunities. But unfortunately, the decision makers in the family still remain male. So that is why it is extremely, extremely important that we work with all aspects of society and all genders of society. And the final thing that I would say on this point is that we need to work very closely with parents. Socialization starts from home and is modeled at home. And it is not, and we know this, boys and girls, children, they don't do what they are told. They will do what they see around them. So it is very challenging, but very important that we really work with parents so they do self-reflection. They realize how important it is to show that equal co-parenting, that different models of parenting are possible. And we give opportunities to the adolescent girls of each of our families, each of our communities, to continue to pursue their dreams, their aspirations, to take the platform to have a voice. So we can see that a different model of socialization and equal opportunities and therefore non-discrimination is possible.
Thank you so much, ma'am, for this touching and inspiring discussion.
Thank you, and thanks again for the opportunity.
You were listening to a discussion on National Girl Child Day, Rights of Girl Child and Opportunities. The participants were Soledad Herrero, Chief of Child Protection, UNICEF in India, and Sonu Sood, AIR correspondent. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.